सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्थु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay. So now the 15th verse. From his navel arose the space between the earth and heaven. From his head, the heavens. From his feet, the earth. And from his ears, the directions. In this way, the worlds were created. But because you're creating everything from the Lord himself. That means everything in the universe has some connection, you know, with some part of his body, because it's his surup that expands. That means, naturally then the energy, the Brahma Jyoti that expands, it will be carrying all the different potencies from all the different parts of his body, because it's the effulgence from his form, his surup. Therefore, then everything that is functioning will have something from somewhere. You know, whatever potency is there, it is there in the form of the Lord. So therefore, then everything can be taken back to the form of the Lord. But in this case, means we're taking it back to what we see in nature, because you're trying to appreciate that the Lord has a personal form. So for those who are impersonal and not used to the transcendental, you can take it back to, oh, this comes from here like this. But ultimately, no, those potencies come from the person himself. And then having come from the person himself, then they're going to come from the person himself. Then they're going to, you know, how you say, have those particular natures. So then that'll be, you know, controlling the laws and everything like that. But ultimately, the main point is all these things can remind you of the Lord himself. So it's not that you need that to think of that and, okay, so that's this part of the Lord, but that it goes farther where even if one knows those things, that reminds you of Krishna. You know, does that make sense? You know, like the trees will remind you of his hair, you know, his wonderful hair. So Keshava, like this or like that. So, yeah, and then it's, from his ears, the directions, because you hear sound, sound goes all directions, sound pervades everything. And so, you know, even places, air doesn't go, sound can go, right? So then that way, then everything is created.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So we're still on the primary creation, is that right?
Yes, we're on the primary creation. Means the same basic principles will be there in the secondary, but they've already been created in the primary. That's how secondary works. Brahma can't create these. The demigods can't create these. This has to come from the Lord and his associates. You know, so it's a pastime of the Lord, the creation. And so it's also a pastime that potency of Hiranyagarbha is there in Lord Brahma, just like the original aspect that this creation is going on, that's the Hiranyagarbha aspect of Mahavishnu, right? And that becomes Brahma in this universe. But the principle is it's going to be that whole principle. Because otherwise, how, like you see the demigods come and this and that, but it's the demigods that are doing this sacrifice. So then that means it has to be the principle of demigods that are going to be there in the universe. The primordial demigods are already there because they're eternal associates of the Lord. So when the Lord expands, then we see we have the avarnas that expand along with them. You know, the different forms and that and the different associates. And so then those all go together. So Mahavishnu will be in one of those avarnas. And so he'll have his associates there with him. Yes? Because the Lord's always the center of the avarna. You know, the avarna means his associates that surround, you know, so that you have all the different the different directions around. And so the different personalities are situated, but there's always Krishna in the middle. Like you have Radha and Krishna, and then around you have the Astasaki. So that's what we'll call the Yogapit. So that'll be the first. Then from there, it'll expand again. And then you'll have the second, you'll have the third, like this, until you get down to the demigods of this universe. They're the seven. But still, you know, the Lord will be the middle, like Vamanadeva or the thousand-headed Vishnu, or someone will be in the middle. I'm not sure. Rupa Goswami talks about this in the
Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
Yeah, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Yes. Yeah, so this would still be the primary creation.
Another point I wanted to clarify is that in Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned that this Hiranyagarbha and this Vairaja. So Hiranyagarbha would be the principal, and the Vairaja, is it from where the material ingredients are taken?
Vairaj, then that Brahma Samhita is there. It's also in Manu. Vairaj, Brahma is born from Vairaja. Vairaja is that principle, that masculine and feminine principle together. So it's considered half male, half female. And so, because you have to have the male and female for there to be production. And so that'll be that subtle aspect, and Brahma is born from that aspect of Vairaj.
Mm.
You know, so it's still within the universe. The Lord is there, but then his potency, but then, you know, but you don't have that, you don't have to have the aspect of where there's, you know, the conception and then, you know, the in the womb and this and that, because Brahma is born without that. He's born directly from the Lord, from his navel. But you're still going to have the masculine and feminine principle. Otherwise, how do you get everything in creation?
Yeah, thank you.
Does that work? Okay.
Is Vairaj as in different from Viraj?
Yeah, it means you have the river.
Right, which is the Karna Ocean.
The Viraja River, which is on the outside of the universes. And the Viraja River will also be, that's the causal ocean. So in other words, right, the causal ocean is the Viraja. And then the universes are in there, so they're covered by that. And then so you Vairaj have to cross beyond. This then is meaning in creation, the Viraj here, that means that principle is half masculine, half feminine, by which then everything can be produced.
Okay.
Combination.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else? We're good. Okay, so then that was 15. So then verse 16. I know that great Virat Purush, as effulgent as the sun, who stands beyond the darkness of the material creation. Having given all the living entities their forms and names, he directs their affairs. So we see that so even though, because you have to bring out this point that he's expanding as the material creation, but that doesn't mean he himself is therefore covered by that or controlled by that. He himself is still the self transcendental effulgent Lord who stands beyond the material creation. You know, I mentioned that before also, is that even though he's transcendental, then in the one portion, he still is controlling the whole material energy. Because it can't function without him. There's only him. He is the complete, you know, cosmos. But because he is, as an individual, what he creates also has that individuality. You know, because he's a person and they're persons. You know, because of the Satchitananda, everything has that aspect of the Sambandha Abhideyam Prayojana to it. So whether it's the form, you know, everything has a beginning, middle, and end. You have the, you know, what's the relationship, what's the activities, what's the results. You're going to it's all going to be based on him. So there is no separation. So this idea that there's something separate that works differently and all this and that, the unknown, because the unknown creates fear. You know, because that's the whole thing, you know, it's fearing an attachment. But the idea is because it's fear, you want to control. So therefore, because we don't know, then I can think of whatever I want, do whatever I want. Does that make sense? So He's beyond the material, the darkness, the material creation, because he's the effulgence. It's from him. He is knowledge. From him comes everything. From him, him comes upliftment. Then we have, having given all the living entities their forms and names, that means those are set. Living entities have their forms. There's 8,400,000 forms. Those have specific forms and names, and that means then they have particular natures. And so then you can't, it's not that you can say, oh, well, that's what it's called, social construct. Or, that's one way to look at it. You know, there's other ways, or maybe it's this, that. No, it's just, this is the way it is. Even though that may not be appreciated by the modern kind of intellectual thought process, they like it to be always open for speculation. But no, it's already created like this. There's enough, within the details, there's enough variety to think about that the principles don't change. And he directs his affairs, because then expanding as Garbhadaksha and Kiradaksha Vishnu, then he directs the living entities, providing the facilities and everything is the Virat Purush. And as super soul, then he's directing the wanderings of the living entity, as mentioned in Gita. So then he's reminding them of what things they wanted to do before, creating those situations, the living entity, how he reacts. The Lord then gives him his results. So he's completely in control of this whole thing. Yes? Then the next one. Brahma explained his realization to Indra. Indra, who knows all the living entities in all four directions, explained it to all others. One who knows the nature of the Virat Purusha becomes immortal even in his life on earth. There is no other path to reach the goal of immortality. Right, so here, then immortality means where you're beyond the cycle of birth and death, beyond samsara. And so this idea, there's parampara. So there's no other way to know this except through parampara. And there's no other path to this immortality than following the instructions that come in this parampara. And what are these instructions? It's about the nature of the Lord, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, what he does, how he does everything. So by knowing the Lord, then one goes beyond. Then one can reach the goal of immortality. Otherwise, you're not going to. You can come up with so many ideas of whatever you like. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point, is that Krishna's already come up with it. The pastime is already there. This is then how you can go beyond that. So how we know Krishna is everything, how everything is connected to him. But then when we know that it's the nature of Virat Purusha, you know, these aspects we have to know as a nature is that it's Krishna's desire that he performs this pastime to uplift the living entities. So the one who knows that, then he crosses beyond. Yes? No? Pretty good. And then the last verse. In this way, the devatas conducted the mental sacrifice using the Virat Purusha to manifest variety in the world. By that sacrifice, both the physical laws of nature and the first spiritual codes of conduct arose. The great souls, by similar mental worship, attained the place of immortality wherein dwell the sadhyas and devatas, the first worshippers. So they're performing, everything is connected to the Lord. You see, there's nothing separate. It's always connected to the Lord and how it works, and everything's coming from the Lord. There's not some other source, or there's not some other result. And then by this sacrifice, you see the physical laws of nature and the first spiritual codes of conduct. So there's nothing left for speculation. The physical laws of nature, that's just what's there. So modern science, and, you know, practical persons, they observe these patterns of these laws, and then they start to observe that there is some kind of law controlling it. They acknowledge the law, of course, because they observed it. They want to get the credit for having seen it, even though the law already exists. So it's their idea when they saw it, the law became creative, and no, it was always there. And so everything, all the 14 planetary systems, all the different 8,400,000 species of life, everything acts according to these laws of nature. They can't act outside of it. People can think, no, we can do this, we can do that, we can change it. No, you can't. That's impossible. And so then that's the way to, and the first codes of conduct means what is the spiritual codes, how it is, then that comes there, that's given to Brahma, that comes down to Indra, like this, then the line comes down. And so then these spiritual codes of conduct, then they are coming there, they're coming in the Vedas, so we saw the four Vedas are coming out, so then all those codes of conduct are there. Then the great personalities, then they, by studying them, practicing them, then in their discussions, you get the Smriti. Then you have the Acharyas coming and then establishing, yes, then how we're supposed to follow the Shruti and Smriti, you know, for us to get to elevate ourselves, you know, through the process of hearing and chanting to the transcendental position. And then we have, then how, okay, then how we're going to, you know, which ones of those codes, you know, in what way will apply to us, you know, and taking advantage of the local association and all that. And so in this way, then the codes of conduct come down to us. So then the great souls, they did this. And then if one is able to appreciate how everything is coming from Krishna and how everything goes back to Krishna, and therefore we absorb ourselves in thoughts of Krishna, how to please Krishna in devotion, then we will also come to that transcendental position, the immortal position. And you see here, it's just talking about coming to the spiritual platform. Yes, please. I think you're Mike.
Sorry. I just want to clarify if I understood correctly. So this was the first sacrifice in the universe, and they performed it with their mental ability. It means it was metaphysical. It wasn't on the physical level.
Yes, yes. I mean, this can be even not even necessarily within the universe. It includes everything. In other words, this first sacrifice is how everything's come, because even for Brahma to create the secondary creation, still has to be based on the laws on that of the primary creation. So these can be the associates of Mahavishnu, but at the same time as you have that aspect within the universe, then they're the associates of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. So this is all happening before Brahma's creation. Right? And then, you know, Brahma then is taught this and he passes this down and all that, because everything happens according to Shastra, because it said before is the Lord creates as he did before. So it's an eternal process. So his creation is according to Shastra. Shastra defines how the creation will happen. So it's Krishna's desire that he wants to create in this way. Therefore, the Shastras explain it in that way. And then he follows the Shastras.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing, is that since this is dealing with here, and you see is that coming through is Om, then Burbu Baswad, and like this is all coming through. This is coming through. This doesn't mean the covering of the universe. This means that the covering of the Mahatattva. You know, then it goes through to the universe also, because that's then the, you know, the next force. You do it on the grand scale, is that the primary creation has been made for the whole Mahatattva, you know, on the level of Mahavishnu. But then it also is then manifest within each universe with Garbhodaksha Vishnu, because Mahavishnu expands with his associates, and then that aspect is then applied in the universe. Then you have Kiradaksha Vishnu, who then it says he manages it, he directs it. You know, I mentioned before, you know, in verse 16, having given all the living entities their forms and name, he directs their affairs. So then you see is that all three aspects of the Purusha are there. It's Purusha Shukta. So Purusha means the three. So you're starting this with the Mahavishnu, but then that's applied in the universe, and then that's controlled by the third Purusha. So one has to appreciate that these things can all be going on simultaneously. It can mean all of this. It doesn't have to, oh, no, but it said here this. And so, you know, it's not about time and space. This is before time and space. Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you.
Because time and space comes from the Virat Purush.
Well, I had another point also.
Yes, please.
I was inattentive somewhere in the beginning, I think, the first class when we started Purusha Sukta.
Oh, okay. I thought I was inattentive in the beginning. And then I wasn't aware that, you know, focusing on Krishna was the main thing. So I kind of turned my attention away from him. And then I became absorbed in the, you know, the externals of Krishna's external energy through the source of Maya. And then from there, I got put into this universe. And then, like, so you're not talking about that beginning?
No.
Okay.
So there was a mention that I didn't catch, although I heard it, that he is higher by 10 fingers than anybody else.
He expands from the universe. Let's see, get that. And yeah, the first verse, the Supreme Lord's universal form has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, and 1,000 feet, for he contains all living entities. Having pervaded the universe completely to give it existence and being independent, he extended himself beyond the universe by 10 fingers. So it's not that he's not limited by the universe. Because some would say, oh, but if he says the universe, he's limited by the universe. No, by his independent nature, he extended beyond the universe by 10 fingers. Just to show that you have the universe, everything's made in the universe, he's controlling it, but it doesn't control him because he expands beyond.
Okay.
He has that independent position. It's like he's gone beyond. So that's his nature, just his. And even though everything is him, he's still separate from that. So that'll be like in the third verse of the Chatur Shloki, that even though he is the existence of everything, he is the value of everything, and the actions that people perform and their results and everything like that, still he as a person is beyond that. So this is also then alluding to that same point, you know. And also you have then a couple of verses later, then you have, in the fourth verse, the three quarters portion of the Lord transcended the material portion. The Lord in the one quarter portion manifested the universe again, as he had done repeatedly before. The Lord of the one quarter portion began the work of creation by going all around, taking the form of all animate and inanimate objects. So the three quarter portion, the Lord is beyond, but even the one quarter portion, even he creates, he's still 10 fingers beyond that. So even you have, let's say, the Mahatattva, he's still beyond that. It's not that he's controlled by that or contained by that or limited by that. He's still greater than whatever it is. So when it says greater than the greatest, then, you know, it means something there. Is that
yes.
Okay?
Yes, thank you, Marat.
Okay. So anything else on the Purusha Sukta? No? Charuji?
No. Have we come to the end of it?
Yep. It's only that many verses long. That's the thing. It's from that, then you expand the Veda. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.